All right, 2 hours down, one more to go. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace today. And if you're just joining us, we had breaking news about half an hour ago. Dennis Schroeder is coming back to the Lakers. They have signed him as a free agent.
One year, $2.64 million.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I think he's going to play. And now we wait to see if they bring multiple point guards into camp. Right on the roster right now, you have Russell Westbrook, you have Patrick Beverley, you now have Dennis Schroeder, you have Kendrick Nunn, you have Austin Reeves, you have a lot of guards.
So before this, I would have said your starters are Westbrook and Kendrick Nunn. Now I think your starters are Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder with Beverley. I've never thought Beverley was going to start. I always thought it was going to be Beverley on the second unit, but
yeah, wait a minute. Westbrook and Schroeder are both point guards though.
Yeah, but they play differently. Like Schroeder can kind of play off the ball. Schroeder, I think, he was the sixth man of the year. So I wonder, that'll be a training camp kind of battle. Like, let's see if they keep Kendrick Nunn in that spot. Schroeder wanted to start. Remember, that was a big thing for him.
Right.
When he got traded here the first time. I don't think he has that kind of leverage now.
Well, one thing to think about, was he not Russ's backup in OKC?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so they know each other.
Yeah. And by the way, this is some context, because context matters. Why would the Lakers go back to the Dennis Schroeder well after the way that went the last time? Obviously,
think he was bad when he was here, and then he turned down an $80 million contract.
Yeah, and it, you know, if anything, the hard feelings would be on his end, right?
Right.
Because they rescinded that offer after they traded for Westbrook, et cetera. But they... you know, he got hurt. There was the COVID stuff, and he got hurt at one point, and then that whole season kind of unraveled. And Dennis is a businessman, right? He always talks about, I own a team in Germany. I understand what ownership is like. Like, he has a pretty level-headed view of things. I'm sure there's some hard feelings, but I just talked to somebody close to him, and they said, you know, he's excited to kind of to get back there because he thinks there's an opportunity for him to sort of rebuild his career. And he certainly did that at the Eurobasket Championships playing for Germany.
Yeah.
Plus, Dennis can still play. Like, there's a reason they traded for him in the first place. He has a good skill set next to LeBron.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that to see what the next shoe to drop is. But Dennis Schroeder's coming to the Lakers.
He also played for Darvin in Atlanta, by the way. Darvin was an assistant coach for the Hawks when Schroeder was in Atlanta and had some pretty productive years there. So
good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read to you a story, and I want you to tell me, all you guys, if this is a nice, patriotic gesture or a brilliant publicity stunt, because I think it's one or the other.
Okay.
All right. Bergman, have you ever heard of the Miss Bum Bum contest in England?
Of course. No, I have no idea what that is.
I'm guessing it's about bums. They celebrate girls with, you know, outstanding bums, if you know what I mean.
All right.
The Miss Bum Bum models in the UK have publicly announced they're going a week without sex in the name of the majesty of Queen Elizabeth. Here's what one of them wrote on Instagram. In the name of Queen Elizabeth, the loved queen of the United Kingdom, I mourn for a week as duly followed by all who respected and loved her. So I will put myself in sexual abstinence for this time of mourning. May God rest her soul in peace. Hashtag RIP Majesty, hashtag London, hashtag UK. Now, as soon as the first model did this, Andrea Sunshine, I'm sure that's her real name, other girls began to follow. And now there's a model named Mika Kelly,
yeah,
who posted a similar sentiment, not Mika Kelly, who was on... Not the one we know.
I thought it was that Minka.
No.
Okay.
Different
got
girl.
It. Got it.
And then a third model, Bianca Cabral, has also agreed to the sex pause, stating to her 500,000 followers that she will also abstain from getting jiggy for 1 week as a sign of respect for the late monarch. So, Bergman, the Miss Bum Bum contestants, and the story I sent you has pictures of them. They, let's just say, deserve to be in this contest. Are preaching abstinence in honor of the Queen. Is this a sincere patriotic gesture or a ridiculous publicity stunt to bring attention to the Miss Bum Bum contest? What say you?
I think the better question is, how many people are going to be outside their doors at the end of the week?
Well, yeah, that is a fair question.
But I think it's a brilliant publicity stunt to get people to go to their sites.
Momo, what do you think?
That is a publicity stunt. Nobody was asking that question, and nobody would be talking about the Miss Bum Bum,
right?
If they weren't doing this, and I think it's kind of, I don't know if it's all that classy to like use the death of someone to have a publicity stunt.
Jorge, do you share in the opinions of Greg and Ramona that this is not genuine? They are not mourning the death of the Queen, and it is a publicity stunt.
Yes.
yeah.
A lot of people over there, like, they canceled all the English Premier League games.
Yeah.
I think somebody saw an opportunity here and cashed it in. And now sportscasters like me are saying Miss Bum Bum for no reason. I think it was a little brilliant.
It's smart, but, you know, I don't know. It feels a little exploitative.
Of course it is.
Like, there's people out there selling, you know, T-shirts probably as the motorcade goes by. That's a little exploitative, you know.
Yeah, it. Well, it's working. You got
not
guys
something
like
I would want to do.
Yeah,
let's
you got guys like me talking about it. All right, we'll see if the girls live up to their word, so to speak. All right, here's another one. Texas plays again this weekend. Steve Sarkisian is the head coach at Texas. He was asked about his quarterback situation for the weekend. He told the media, "It's not my job to give you our game plan. I don't have to tell you guys what I'm doing at quarterback." His starting quarterback got hurt last week and is out for the season. So he's auditioning a bunch of backups for this. And Sark basically got offended that these guys kept pressing him on quarterback. He says, "What I can clarify is all three of our QBs got better this week. I don't think it's my job.
Clarify that.
I don't think it's my job to get on here and tell you guys what our game plan is going to be. You guys can keep poking the bear on what I do at QB. At the end of the day, I'm not going to give you our game planning decisions or how we practice. There's a reason you guys don't come to practice." Mm. Is Sark right?
Technically, yes. Technically, that's not like a matter of church and state, or that's not a matter of vital importance that he has to disclose to people. I mean, he can certainly say this would give our opponent a competitive advantage. But where he's wrong is this idea of, like, you just kind of don't get what we're doing here. What people are doing in sports is for the fans, right? It's for your team, and the fans will love you more when you win, okay? But generally speaking, you can give an answer that gives the media something, that gives the fans something, and helps create an entertainment around your team. Like, sports are supposed to be an escape.
I was just going to say, first of all, Bergman, is Sark right?
Yeah, there's no reason for him to put anything out there. It's absolutely an advantage for the other team.
Right. So, Ramona, I'll be Sark. You be a reporter. Ask me about my quarterback.
So what are you thinking going into the quarterback situation this week?
Here's what I want you guys to put out there and write. We are preparing all three quarterbacks. We don't know how the game's going to unfold. They all have different skill sets.
Yeah.
And we're working on all three of them so I can give our team the best chance to win. Now, if you guys go out there and report that I'm contemplating playing three quarterbacks, that'll actually help me.
Yeah.
Because then the other team's got to prepare for all three of them. But the truth is, I don't know what I'm doing until the game starts.
Yeah.
There may be it may call for a running quarterback, may call for a deep ball, they all do different things. We're looking at all three of them, and any of the three could play.
That's right.
That's the bite. You don't have to say, "Not my job." Not
I know.
And
Sark
is normally really good about playing the game. Like, he's very, very media friendly.
You don't have to lie. You can just not tell everything. You don't have to give away the store. And what happens when you have an antagonistic relationship or an antagonistic quote, it just lights a fire under those reporters to find out some other way. They'll find out. We'll always find out. A lot of people know.
Yeah. And
someone will say something.
And you can play. You're right, though. You can play the game a little bit. You can play the game. All right. A Washington Post reporter came up with a really fun idea for a story. And I'll tell you what it is coming up. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Momo's in for Mace. And I mentioned that a Washington Post reporter came up with a pretty cool idea that at first you wouldn't think it would be possible to pull it off, but she did with two of her friends. She tried to figure out if you could do all of the things that Ferris Bueller does in the movie on his day off.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
So her and two of her friends basically decided they were going to try and copy everything. So they actually dressed up like Ferris. One guy dressed up like Cameron. Somebody else dressed up like Sloan. And they basically went. So here's what he does in the movie. He goes to the top of Sears Tower, the Chicago Board of Trade, a fancy French lunch, a Cubs game, the Art Institute, the Steuben Day Parade, the beach, then races on foot through his North Shore suburb to get home by 6 p.m. All right? So they tried to do everything. Do you think it's doable?
I do.
They did, but they had trouble getting back by 6 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, just logistically.
Yeah, traffic in Chicago.
So,
going from downtown back to the suburbs.
On Saturday, September 10th, they found a Cubs game and the actual parade from the movie. So
oh,
they decided
wow.
to try it. They went to the Art Institute in the morning, and there were a couple of locations that were no longer around. The floor at the Mercantile Exchange had closed. Shea Quiz was a fictional restaurant set in Chicago. So, but they planned everything. They used Google Maps. And they were able, they started at 7:30 in the morning. They hit all the stuff that he hit. And by the end of the day, they finally got to the Cubs game at 3:15. At 5:20, they arrived at the beach, and at the North Shore, that's where they were all sitting around watching it. They drive to Cameron's house, and they say at 5:55, he wouldn't have had time to make it back to be at his house by 6. But they did it anyway. They made it back about 6:30. And I just think it would be a really fun
yeah.
thing to try. Don't you think?
Yeah, although, traffic in 2022 is probably very different than it was in, 1980
or whenever that movie came out.
80s
yeah.
or something. That was one of my, favorite movies as a kid. That was, a very seminal movie for everyone that my era, right? The thing with Cameron and his dad, right, and the car. There's a lot of other things that happen in that movie.
Right. And they obviously they couldn't do the thing.
They couldn't
wreck a car and you know left on their turn. But I thought it was a fun kind of novel
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, that's cool
that they pulled off. All right, our top story today. If you've been driving around, you're just joining us. The Lakers have re-signed Dennis Schroeder. Ramona, what do you think this means for everybody else?
I think it does not necessarily mean they're going to do anything with Westbrook.
You don't think those two things are related? Now they can. It gives them more options. But you
yeah.
don't think A equals B here.
Right. I don't think A equals B. I think they have had, and I can tell you, they've had a lot of discussions about Westbrook trades over the summer, some with Utah, some with Indiana. There's a lot of three-way constructions with other teams that are facilitators. They've gotten closer on some things, but I've never heard anything be imminent. I've heard... The closest I've ever heard it get to the stage where people are talking, should we do this? Should we not do this? But never anything imminent.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there's other business going on in the NBA. There's complications. One of the big complications the Lakers have and have discussed in trades with other teams is they don't want to tie up their cap sheet next year. So anybody who is under contract for next year hurts their ability to go after a max free agent next year. Because right now they're right at that line. Anything on the books for next year, though, would make them have to do some work in order to get a max salary spot available. And there's some good free agents. The number one, obviously, is Kyrie Irving. They were linked to him in the past.
Right.
And I think he would be a target for them if he's still a free agent by the time they get there. He can sign an extension is what I mean with Brooklyn if he wants. But with the Lakers, they this issue with Schroeder is like this is exactly the kind of player they're looking for. Somebody who is young enough and can still contribute, theoretically plays defense, like theoretically, okay? If you have him in the right role, I think my general sense with the Schroeder experiment the last time was, first of all, that was a very strange year. It was a COVID year, okay? He came in sort of dictating terms. I want to start. That wasn't a great move for a team that had just come off winning a championship.
Right.
He started, but then wasn't seen as the type of facilitator and selfless player that a lot of the guys necessarily like playing with. He's great at what he is as a six man. He's great at as a change of pace point guard who can play some pesky defense. And that's where he's had success in Atlanta and Oklahoma City. And then when they created a larger role for him, he did not thrive in it, didn't do well. And then he also had COVID a couple of times, injuries. That year went off the rails. So I think this is a do-over for both sides. And it's interesting, like, I'm sure there are things he would do over and do differently. So there's things the Lakers would do over and do differently. I think they probably would have not let him start without earning it coming in. I think that changed the dynamic pretty severely when he first came in. But I don't know. Sometimes these do-overs work.
And you know that Rob wouldn't have signed these guys unless LeBron signed off on it.
Yeah.
So LeBron wants this.
Yeah.
And it does give them more options. But it also, I know what a lot of people are thinking. They're thinking, okay, the Lakers now have four point guards, not counting LeBron.
Right.
And Russ just put his house on the market. So it must mean something. I'm with you. I don't think you can connect those dots. I don't think it means anything yet. It could, but I don't think necessarily that you can connect those dots and say, oh, that means they're trading Westbrook. I don't necessarily think that's true.
I do think there are deals out there for Westbrook they could decide to do tomorrow, tonight, whatever. But thus far, they're not new deals, right? This is stuff they would have been thinking about for the past few weeks. And I've heard certain outlines of discussions, but it's never gotten to the point where it sounds like they're really excited and running in that direction. I still think if you really look at it big picture, the best option is probably just letting him start and seeing what you can get out of him. Draymond Green had something to say about that earlier.
You know, the other thing is, I saw what Draymond said. Yeah. Draymond's a big Russ guy.
Yeah.
Does this mean with Beverly here that you could move Russ to the second unit? Is that a possibility? Or if Russ is here, he's starting and that's it?
Everything I have heard is that Russ is starting. Okay. I don't think anyone has wavered in that. If you have Russell Westbrook on your team and you, like, if you could show me that he'd be demonstrably better with the second unit, maybe you could make that case. But I don't see him being better with that personnel group.
Well, he would be the best player on it, so he could control the ball. Yeah, I mean, if no AD, no LeBron on the court.
I feel like LeBron and AD usually play with the second unit in certain situations. One
well, if it were me, if I was going, and this is all going to be up to Darvin, I would make sure LeBron or AD was on the court
at all times. Yeah, either or.
That's normally not what people do. Like even at Golden State, they take out Steph Clay and Draymond at once.
Stagger the minutes.
Yeah, and it makes it a different thing. All right, this is something we are keeping an eye on. The first shoe has dropped. Is there a second shoe? Dennis Schroeder re-signing with the Lakers. Happened today. 1-year deal, little over $2 million. He'll be on the roster when the season starts. We got Game of Games. Jorge, it's your game today, right?
It is.
All right, so that's coming up in about 15 minutes. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, Game of Games coming up in about 10 minutes. Jorge's game today.
Excited about this one.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Good. It's tight. It's close. Yesterday, Andy Kamenitsky put on like one of the most dominant performances of all time.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, he beat...
Ruined my game.
Bergman had 9 pretty good... It was a pretty good game. It was about... Uh-huh. He would mention movie characters, and then we had to name the movie, like actors in a movie. Andy got 7 of the 9. I got 1, Sedano got 1, and Andy got 7 of the 9. And so he was pretty dominant.
And one time he got off a guy named Wiley Wiggins, who was in Dazed and Confused, which was just a very random person.
Right.
And he got it off of that.
No, that's what it's all about. And so Jorge coming up here in a minute. All right. Hey, Bergman, the Dodger lineup's out.
Yep, I'm looking at it.
For tonight. And, okay, so if you've been following the Dodgers this year, they've already clinched the division. And it appeared yesterday, the day after they clinched, that they were waving the white flag and they're going to start resting some guys. Freddie Freeman didn't play for the first time all year. Trey Turner took only his second game off.
Yep.
They ended up losing. This was Wednesday, Greg, right? They didn't play yesterday.
No, they did not.
Wednesday, and they ended up losing. All right? So tonight they open a 3-game series in San Francisco against the Giants.
Yes, they're starting against the Giants tonight, and they're going up against Logan Webb.
Okay, who's their best player? They all hands on deck tonight, Ramona. They're putting everybody back in the starting lineup. Here's what it looks like.
Wow.
Mookie Betts leading off, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Joey Gallo, Chris Taylor, Cody Bellinger, and Dustin May on the mound. Bergman, you and I were like president of the Dustin May fan club. When he came back from his Tommy John surgery, seriously, he looked unhittable. He had like just wicked stuff, and we thought, okay, you got to find a start for this guy in the postseason. Since then, he's been pretty shaky, been pretty inconsistent. Greg, is it a stretch for me to say if he doesn't do well tonight, I think it goes a long way into sending him into the bullpen in the postseason. If he does well tonight, I think you still consider him. This game means something to May.
Yes, it means a lot to May in this game. If he has to go probably the next 3 starts before the postseason, 3 or 4, whatever it happens to be, he needs to have good starts. He needs to be able to have more control because he's walking too many guys, throwing too many pitches. So if he can get that under control and look and have the stuff that he's been having recently, then I think he'll be fine. But yes, if he has a bad start against the Giants, he's going to kind of probably push him to a bullpen role.
All right, so that's tonight, 7 o'clock, Dodgers and Giants.
By the way, on Apple TV Plus.
Oh.
Oh, that's one of those games?
Yes.
And that's the only place you can watch it?
That is the only place you can watch is on Apple TV.
New world we live in. Last night, Amazon. Tonight, Apple. You know who I feel bad for? Old people.
Yeah.
It's like trying to explain to my mom how to watch something on a stream. Like, does Jan get it? You're a very good streamer. Does your mom know how to stream?
Absolutely not. Me and my brother bought her like a really nice Apple TV, one of the more expensive ones.
Right. They come built in.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I don't know what to do with this. Can't figure it out.
Yeah, when my dad died in 2017, my dad had no shot. My mom has actually been a really good sport.
Yeah.
I explained to her. She'll call me.
Yeah.
The funniest thing is she'll call me. She'll say, okay, I'm trying to watch Yellowstone on this app, and I can't do it. And I said, all right, I'm going to call you back on FaceTime, and I want you to show me what you're doing. And she says, okay. So I'll call her back on FaceTime. She answers it, and I'm looking at her. I go, Mom, you need to turn the phone around so I can see the TV.
Uh-huh.
She can't figure that part out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, finally we get that part.
It's not that even I know how to use it, it still doesn't work right all the time. I'm constantly having to reboot the cable box and how do I switch back and forth and something doesn't work right.
All right. So, I mean, that's the problem with in a world switching to streaming is that older people don't know how to
Think about it. If you're watching something on terrestrial
cable. Like you say
cable,
your dad didn't even try, he just came over to your house.
Yeah, he just came over to my house. You know, and
that's
and like,
awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, Dad, just come over, we got the game on. He's like, okay. And you know, I needed his help with the kids anyway. I was like,
right,
you know, he likes to come over to me and extend hands with the grandkids. But it's like if you're watching something on terrestrial cable and then I need to go to Amazon Prime to watch something, I got to exit and go to the input.
A lot
out
of buttons.
Oh,
a lot
of buttons. It's complicated.
Does your brother have kids?
Yeah, I have a nephew.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is their second and third grandchild, your two kids?
Right.
Okay.
Daniel was the first. He was the oldest.
Oh, Daniel was first, then your brother had his kid?
Yeah, then I had Jacob.
Okay,
yeah,
so now they're playing zone. They used to be able to play man-to-man. Your parents were able to play man-to-man. Now they got to play zone. All right, let me ask you guys a weird question. Bergman, I think you sent me this story.
Maybe. It's possible.
The Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial is being made into a movie.
Insane, right?
Okay. Here's my question. Amber Heard really got tagged in that trial.
Yeah.
All right. Johnny Depp won. Everybody made fun of Amber Heard. you know, about the poop in the bed and everything else. And, you know, she came out of it. Nobody is lining up to hire Amber Heard. If you were producing this movie, so you're in charge of Netflix or, you know, Warner Brothers, whatever's making this movie, would you think about this? It could be weird, but it might actually work. Would you offer the role of Amber Heard to Amber Heard?
Huh.
I was hoping you were going to say that, and yes, yeah. 100% give her the role. It's an amazing role.
I think it would be a good career move for her.
Interesting.
And I think everybody would watch, and it might save her career. Momo, you're actually
doing this,
a little bit involved with something like this.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, Ramona's podcast series, The Sterling Affairs, is being made into a TV series by FX.
Yep.
And so since you are the source of the material, you are being consulted. You don't have a lot of say, but they're telling you what's going on.
They tell me what's going on, and occasionally I get to express an opinion.
What if I told you?
Yeah. So if, and there's a lot of people we know that could play themselves in this movie. All right. I know they already cast Lawrence Fishburne to play Doc.
Yeah.
But I'll just throw a name out. If Blake Griffin wanted to play Blake Griffin, I actually don't hate that. What
I don't
do you
hate
think?
It. I think it has to be the right person. I like that they already did cast Blake Griffin. They
right.
casted a lot.
They've
of,
cast everybody. There's no actual people playing themselves.
It's not Blake Griffin.
Right.
Blake
it's
Griffin.
Not Blake Griffin.
Play,
no. They're,
doesn't Blake Griffin have a twin brother?
Taylor.
They could have cast
he's not a twin.
His,
he's the older brother.
Yeah.
But
they could have cast his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, that's a great call. There's certain characters I would do that for. Every director, what I've learned with these Hollywood types, okay, what mm-hmm. I've learned, is everybody needs to feel like they have their vision and their say, and they all are very good at what they do and in their own right, okay? But jobs that you and I are used to being the quote-unquote talent, okay?
Right.
Like we're the commentators or whatever it is. In when you do the TV thing, the Hollywood thing,
yeah,
there's people that you don't even know who are like very influential and take themselves very seriously. They have a lot of power. That like the director, like who's the director gets to have more say than I do because he's the one executing the
right
the vision. Right? There's assistant directors and costume people.
Well, the difference between what we're talking about with the Clippers is you'd be asking people who aren't actors to act. Amber
right.
Heard's an actress.
Yeah, she's an actress. I actually like it, but it becomes part of the story. Now, what our project that we're doing, and these are typical now in streaming, okay, in these miniseries, is called event casting.
Right.
Like, the idea is part of the way you market these types of miniseries mm-hmm. is by casting people who are interesting and maybe have made their move and their name
are
in
they,
different roles.
Are they casting Ralph Lawler? Can I audition to play Ralph Lawler?
I know some things that I don't know if I can say on air.
Okay.
Are they
casting sportscasters?
Yes.
All right.
But I they
can you get me the gig? Can you get me an audition, Ramona? Can you get me in the door? Just for this reason. If I get this and Mason's not in it, his head will literally explode.
I think
Greg,
that
I would
know
love
what
it
I'm
so
saying.
Much.
Jorge, what would Mason's reaction be if I was in the Sterling Affairs and he wasn't?
Wait a minute, Ramona. You got him an audition and you didn't get me one?
Ramona,
you got him
he
in?
He would call you every hour for 2 days.
I would never work
days.
With him again.
I know.
He would literally hate me.
He would think that even if they cast, if John Ireland was in the Sterling Affairs, and they cast me to play me, Mason would be mad they didn't cast him.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to give you a little... I can say this in a way that I'm not giving anything away, but will be exciting, okay?
Okay.
You know how, like, Stan Lee's and a lot of the, you know, the Marvel or his movies, right? There's always a cameo. There are obviously scenes in this where there are press conferences. There are reporters in this. So there...
Well, you got to be in one of those.
There are some opportunities for things like that.
Okay.
And I have been asked to give options for other people who would add an air of credibility or like an Easter egg quality to this. So, so let's see what I can do. I don't want to make any promises.
Right.
Let's see.
Like, for example, you know who's got to be a reporter in there? You got to put Lee Jenkins in the room because now he works for the Clippers.
Well, I don't know if he would do it. Like,
he would do it.
I don't know.
The Clippers
don't
love the project?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't hate it, but I don't think they love it. It's not like the Lakers are winning.
Would they let guys like Matt Barnes and Jamal Crawford play themselves?
Yeah, well, they don't work for the team.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those guys still both look
Matt's
young enough
Matt's
to play.
Matt's a consulting producer. Matt's involved.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers involved as well. Like, they're consultants on this, right?
Got it.
But I think that... not consultant, but like they've talked, you know, they've been, it's a little different than Winning Time, right?
Okay.
It's not unauthorized, right?
Okay.
But there's like I said to them, like, you know, you should call Barkley. Like, you should call Charles. Like,
just
to
see if you.
Yeah, but you should call Woj. Like, you should, like, there's certain people that I think would be good to have in there. And I, you know, I don't know who they'll call and which suggestions of mine they'll take, but I will make them.
One guy who's got to be in that thing is Brad Turner. You got to get him in there.
Yeah, that's a good call.
He'd be perfect.
Yeah, Brad Turner.
All right. Hey, we're celebrating National Cheeseburger Day. We want you to score for the football season. Here's how to win. Listen and win every hour. And right now, call 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Caller number 7 wins a $50 gift card to Ralph's plus a Meat District party pack of Butcher Crafter premium burgers for tailgate season. Meat District burgers, perfect for your next tailgate party. Coming up next.
Momo, you had some of those burgers, right? They were delicious.
I inhaled it.
It was so good. I had two of them. Oh, there's a couple back
two,
there still.
But I thought it would be impolite because there was only a couple left.
Oh, no, no. Get another one if you want. They're delicious.
Hey, is anybody from the afternoon show playing Game of Games?
Shit, Anno.
All right, so Anno's going to be in here. Momo, Greg, Sedano, and I will take on Jorge's game. When we come back, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, no Mace today, but Momo is in for Mason, and George Sedano's here. Hi, George.
Hey. Well, hopefully today's easier than when Andy boat raced us yesterday.
That was embarrassing. Sedano and I got one each, and Andy got 7, and Jorge just completely mailed it in. But today, George Briones has the game. He's in charge. What do we got, Jorge?
Okay, so we've been talking about play-by-play guys.
Yeah.
So Funch has helped me load these in. So we got 10 different announcers, play-by-play announcers.
Sedano, if we do bad in this, we're
idiots.
In
trouble.
Yeah. This is built for John,
by
the way.
Yeah, this is built for you,
John. No, well, Sedano, too.
Sedano is good to me.
I may get one or two.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Name is your buzzer?
Yeah.
So what are you playing, like, sound? Or?
Yeah, I am playing sound, yes.
Oh, he's playing an announcer.
10 different calls.
And we have to name the announcer, right?
Okay.
You have no delay, by the way. I can look at it.
Okay. All right.
Let's see.
All right, George, here we go.
Here goes the first one.
17 seconds.
Ireland.
From Gates.
Ireland.
That's Bob Costas.
Bob Costas.
Ah,
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Oh, this is gonna be another boat race.
Here we go.
Number 2.
Giants looking for Greg.
Sit down.
Greg.
That's Joe Buck.
Joe Buck.
Whoa, Greg. Wait, no way. I have to be on a delay.
Oh, no. I can, it's right there.
Wait a minute. I'll leave it up to you. Is that whining?
No flag.
Not
flag.
Yet.
Right, we'll warn
it. Warning.
Sedano, anything that can be
keep us up, Sedano, flag.
Sedano, anything that constitutes as whining or complaining, you get minus one, but that's just a warning. All right, here we go.
Here's the pitch. Ohtani lifts one high.
Ireland.
And he hits it.
That is Terry Smith.
Terry Smith.
Very good.
Oh, this is not going to go well.
It's the Angels.
Okay. All right, here goes number 4.
Fire away. He's now
Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh, come
that's
on.
Marv Albert.
Marv Albert.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh.
You made this for Ireland.
No, look.
I'm only ahead 3-1, you big whiner.
Hey,
you're
Greg,
getting close.
Be careful, Greg.
It's true.
Number five.
They get there. Broussard checked by
Greg.
Broussard pass up the middle. Broken up.
Who was it?
Greg.
Oh, Bob Miller.
Bob Miller.
Bob, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to apologize to you when I see you.
That's some hockey calls right there.
I knew that too, but y'all are too fast.
Right now the score is Ireland 3, Bergman 2, and Ramona and Sedano Bupkis.
Here we go. Number 6.
I mean, I've known them all. I just can't get in fast enough.
I know.
Here we go.
6.
Falling back to third.
Greg.
No!
That's Mason. That's Mason on the luge.
Jesus, come on.
I knew that one too. Dang it.
Greg, it is tied at 3.
Too fast.
All right, number 7.
All right, here we go.
Angie Dundee, Ireland.
Ireland.
Right.
Howard Cosa.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Okay. Number 8.
Here goes Goff.
Sedano.
Sedano.
Oh, my goodness.
Here goes Goff.
3.
I don't know who
2.
That is.
All right, give us a little more of it.
Here goes Goff. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
Ireland.
Goodness.
Ireland.
And it's Woods
I
for the touchdown.
I think it's Hannah Storm.
You got it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Used to do the Amazon broadcast. It was an alternate stream with her.
That's
and Andrea
where you got
Kramer.
That.
That's where I
Very
got that.
Good.
That's where you
okay.
got it. Okay. Right.
Wow.
We got
wow.
two more left.
That's
two
good.
More left.
Okay, here we go.
Number 9.
Ireland.
Oh, I know who that is. Scully. Yeah.
I couldn't even hear.
I know. I hear it. I'm just not fast enough. You guys are too good.
And here's the last one. Here's the last one.
Kobe's second.
Greg, sit down.
That's John Ireland.
John Ireland. All
right. No one's listening for me.
I only have yours for Greg.
So that was a two-person race. Ireland 6, Bergman 4.
Yeah, I mean, Ramona and I knew them all. You guys literally played like a half a second of them. And then,
George,
you know.
I don't care. I've said this before. I don't care what anybody says. When you're on remote.
Yes, you're on a delay.
It's a delay. I know, Greg, you say you're looking at it.
It's like less than a...
The Joe Buck one, there's no way that I wasn't first. I'm sorry. You can tell me I'm whining and give me a demerit or whatever you want to give me. But yeah.
Hey, Sinatra, what do you think it means that the Lakers signed Dennis Schroeder today?
Oh, I know what it means. It means that Dennis Schroeder probably missed the Manhattan Beach Creamery, which is where me, Cappy, and Lindsay were yesterday.
Why did you?
Neck of the woods.
I know,
there.
I go there all the time. What were you guys doing there?
Well, Cappy was going to Cleveland to see his son play tomorrow.
Okay.
So he was going to the airport, so we decided to go to dinner. We just went to Hennessy's Tavern there in Manhattan Beach. And I told them, I said, do you guys want dessert? And they're like, why? I'm like, the best ice cream place in all of LA is right down the street, and we can walk there. And we went.
What I would have told you to do is, well, George, I've been lobbying for you to go to Slay.
Oh, I've been to the Italian a bunch of times.
Yeah, you've been to the Italian, but you haven't been to the other one, which was right around the corner from where you were.
Right.
And so one of these days you'll get in there. But you were in that place. There's always a line. Was there a line when you guys?
It's Thursday. It was almost closing time. They close at 9. We were in there like at 8:40. So there was a few people, but you're right. It's usually a line out the door. So I feel like that's what Dennis Schroeder missed. You know, because the practice facility is not that far. It's like 10-15 minutes away.
Okay. So a lot of reaction I'm getting on social media is, Ireland, they have 4 point guards other than LeBron, and Westbrook just put his house on the market. This means they're getting rid of Russ. I don't necessarily think so, George, and one of the reasons why is...
Oh, I do.
Well, okay, you think within the next 2 weeks?
I mean, I think before the trade deadline, yes.
No, well, the trade deadline, you mean it, when camp opens, is Russ in camp?
No, it's possible. I think that they're going to see how the experiment goes for about 10 to 20 games, if I had to guess.
Huh. Yeah, that's spot. What do you think,
Momo? I think the best thing they can do is give Russ a chance during training camp and during the first part of the season to show how he fits on this team and whether he can still play, whether he can play the way they need him to play. Okay? Doesn't mean he can't play at all in a different way, but just the way they need him to play. Because right now you're incentivizing anyone to take him, and they're probably not even going to play him.
They help him,
right? And this is the absolute rock bottom for him as a player in terms of value around the league. Why not at least try to rebuild his value a bit so you can keep one of those picks or not necessarily have to take back so much money? Why not try
to Momo's point, it's not going to get – the value's not going to get worse. Right. Like, if you have to attach a pick and he stinks after 10 or 20 games or 30 games, you're still going to have to attach a pick, so who cares?
Yeah, the only thing that can happen is it takes, let's say, 10 or 20 games to figure this out. Like, what happens in those 10 or 20 games? Is that hurting the Lakers from building an identity? Is it hurting the offense? Is it keeping them from whatever seed they're going to be? Like, you have to weigh that positive impact of – rebuilding his value versus potential negative impact of, like, this year's team.
Hey, Sinatra, Dennis Schroeder was on this list I have of a big-name free agents, not necessarily great players anymore. Most of these guys are older. But now Schroeder's off the list. I'm just going to read you this list and tell me, after I tell you each name, whether or not this guy gets signed or probably not. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, he'll be somewhere.
Hassan Whiteside.
That one I'm less convinced of, but everybody always needs a big man at some point, right.
Rodney Hood.
Probably not.
Carmelo Anthony.
I think eventually someone will sign him, yes.
Rajon Rondo.
I don't know about Rondo at this stage.
Dwight Howard.
I think Dwight's done.
Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, he's still young enough.
Paul Millsap.
No, he's pretty old, so I would say no.
Blake Griffin.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I wouldn't sign Blake. If it were me, you know, I wouldn't.
Ramona, would you sign Blake?
I would. I still think he's a solid player, and he
give you 8 to 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, 8 to 10. I would for the right team. He's done a decent job defensively. For a little bit, you know, for the Nets, and I still think he's a good locker room guy. He's a good, like, he can still play, still make a shot. So I think he's got a little more left.
All right, George, this is the one that surprises me that he's still out there. Tristan Thompson.
No, it doesn't surprise me. He doesn't have any of the skill sets that you would want in a big man in 2022.
You think maybe out of the league?
Yeah, I think it's very possible.
All right, how about Svi Mihailuk?
Oh, he can shoot, man. Everybody wants a shooter. Yeah. Eventually he'll be in. Somebody will bring him in.
All right, now here's the hardest one. This guy's a great player coming off of a career year, but he's got severe legal problems. Uh-oh. Miles Bridges.
Ramona may know better because of the reporting aspect of it, but I would guess that Charlotte will bring him back.
No? Well, Charlotte already released him, right, Momo?
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I think he's a free agent.
Yeah, I think George, what happened was the charges against him are so serious that they didn't want to be associated
with
him.
Well, again, let's just say if my thing is this, if the legal system plays itself out where he can play again, and I don't know, to your point, it was very serious and it didn't look great at all by any stretch of the imagination.
Now,
it looked heinous.
Yeah, he's pled not guilty to three felony charges.
Correct. So I think that if the legal situation works itself out, and you know, then I think Charlotte would probably bring him back. Is my guess.
Right, and the charges are of the variety. They're all domestic violence charges. By the way, this was in Los Angeles Superior Court. He's been accused of assaulting his girlfriend in front of their two kids. Three felony charges have been filed against him. It doesn't look good, but as you said, I think George, you phrased it right. If the legal situation gets worked out, then somebody will jump. But at this point, I think he's on hold. I just don't think anybody's going to sign him. Let's get some Supercross talk going. All right, gang's all here. As Sedano mentioned, Scott Kaplan is in Ohio where he's going to watch his son play tomorrow. Right. How you doing, Cap?
I'm doing really great. How are you guys?
Excellent. Glad to have you here. By the way, let me point out, Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. After an accident, you have to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Now, Cap, I know it makes you nervous when I say I got something I want to play. So I'm taking it upon myself to find something every day that you and I do crosstalk that I can play to make you nervous. All right?
Well, and you know this now, John, because we said this to you yesterday. So, Ramona, we made fun of John the other day because, like, literally, this is supposed to be fun. And look, I get the Robert Sarver story is a big story, but it's like we do stupidity on our show. Like,
yeah,
we don't
I heard you guys talking.
Robert Sarver talk. Like, to
I
be
heard
honest
Sedano and Cap talking on the drive afterwards, and I was wondering if you were listening.
I was listening. I know that they get mad at me when I go serious.
Yeah,
and they
so
get
like
mad
yesterday.
At me
yesterday was great. Like, give
when
us.
Cap
give
gets
us,
mad at me when I play things.
No, but give us the Utah booby story. That was good yesterday.
And I liked the Emmy Award thing where you had that inspirational speech that lady gave. I like that.
Okay, now I think you're gonna like this, Cap. All right, so here's the backstory on this. Do you guys know who Max Homa is?
No.
He's a golfer.
Max.
Okay? He's a golfer, pretty good one. He won the Nissan Open, the LA Open. He's a Southern California kid, went to Cal, plays on the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is in Northern California this week. He's the defending champ, so he had to have a press conference. And so Homa went to Cal, and one of the places when he was at Cal, Homa, one of his roommates was on the golf team, is playing this week in this tournament with Homa. His name is Michael Kim. Now, Michael Kim is Korean.
The former SportsCenter anchor?
No, different guy.
Oh.
But Michael Kim is Korean, okay? And so Homa will tell a little bit of this story, but he's full-blooded Korean, grew up in Korea, and they're at Cal. And he discovers one of their roommates, Homa discovers one day that Kim has kind of underhandedly found the easiest possible class he could ever take. I'll let Homa pick up the story from there.
So Michael moved to America from Korea when he was 12. So he speaks fluent Korean. And obviously I don't understand any Korean. It's quite complicated. So he did that, and then he's going to be so mad I'm telling people this. And then right after, he starts recording something on his phone, and it would be like me saying, like, I drove my car to the store in Korean. And I was like, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm in this Korean 101 class that I'm not supposed to know. I'm not supposed to be fluent in this. I'm like, you are so scummy.
So what he did, Cap, he already spoke fluent Korean and took basic introduction to Korean. Like, he probably spoke it better than teacher. So my question for you, Cap, as a football player at the University of Pittsburgh, what was the easiest class you ever took in school?
Well, you know, we used to have these academic advisors, right? And they would tell us the classes that we should be taking based on the professors who were football player friendly. So I had two classes. One was called Japanese Film Study, and the other one was like an intro to economics. And it wasn't like the economics was easy. It's just that the professor, God love this guy, when he would give us tests, he would sit there at the front of the classroom. He would open up the newspaper in front of him. And the entire time we were all taking the tests, he always had the newspaper in front of him as if to say, you guys want to cheat? Go ahead and cheat. I don't care. I can't see it. I'm reading the newspaper. So, Econ 101, Japanese film studies. Anybody beat that?
What was easy about Japanese film study?
The professor would have us in the room, and she would just play films, and that's all we had to do was sit there and watch
like
the
Godzilla
films.
Like Godzilla versus Rodan?
I don't know what these things were, but it didn't matter. She was known as a football-friendly professor.
Gotcha.
So that's what we were able to take. Now, I had an English class, and this professor one time, we had to hand write back in the day. We didn't have computers, and we didn't type things out. We had to hand write these essays, and I wrote the essay, and he gave me back the essay, and it was a C. He wrote C. That was my grade. And he literally, I swear to you guys, he wrote this on my paper. He said, Mr. Kaplan, don't you wish you were as consistent on the field as you are in my class? Because I was just getting straight C's in this guy's class. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe this guy said it to me.
Wow.
That's funny.
Sedano, what's the easiest class, high school or college, that you ever took?
The easiest class?
Yeah, you didn't have it. Like, we called him a Mickey Mouse class.
I took a hospitality management class once in college. And the guy who was the professor owned a really popular restaurant in Fort Lauderdale called the 15th Street Fisheries. A beautiful place. And it was just that. It was like the easiest class. We'd go on field trips all the time. Restaurants, we'd eat, we'd have a drink. We would just like hang out. And that was the entire class. Now, that sounds to me like if I took an intro to Spanish class, right?
Like that would be the cool. Briones did it. Briones took an intro to Spanish class when he spoke full Spanish from the time he grew up.
Now, I actually had I had this story the other day because I was doing a something for work on the TV side, and we had to wait a really long time for the subject that we were interviewing, okay?
Right.
And I said this, and I feel like Ramona and John and Cap, you would appreciate this, that I feel like I should teach a course at a college, right? And one of the days of the class, just one day randomly in a particular semester, I literally just show up with like a minute to go. And the lesson is, if you're going to get into journalism, you better learn to wait, because you're going to wait for a long time, pretty much your entire career. Half your career is just going to be sitting around waiting for people to show up.
Yeah, that's true, by the way. This happened to me in college. I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'm curious, Sonano and Cap, what you guys think. So I'm in a sociology class at UCLA, and there are two basketball players in this class with me. And I knew all the basketball players. So one of them says to me, psst, Ireland, move your elbow, because I'm writing all my answers, and they want to look at my paper. So I scoot my paper over to the right-hand side of the table, and I move my elbow so he can see what I've written, and he just copies my answers. I maintain that I did not cheat. He cheated. Mason says, I'm guilty of cheating. What do you guys think?
Oh, God. So you allowed somebody to cheat off of you.
Correct.
I knew Mason's calling you a cheater.
Mason said if he was in my position, he would have blown the whistle on these two basketball players.
Chris literally just did an intro yesterday, a rejoin yesterday about how Mason did not tell you you were getting fired, but yet he's going to call you a cheater
right.
in that situation and blow the whistle?
Yes.
Come on.
No, he would. He said, that's cheating. You're screwing up the class. I said, I didn't cheat. They cheated.
No, I don't. Who cares? You did nothing wrong.
And matter of fact, George, I kept that one of those guys was our starting point guard, and I kept him on the court. He needed that clock.
Exactly right.
I think you did the right thing. I literally took one for the team, Cap.
Right. Not just the team. You were thinking about the entire university and its brand, Mace
UCLA
was trying to shut down the school.
Yeah. Right. The other story we had today that I thought you guys would like was, did you hear the Miss Bum Bum story?
No.
So there's a contest in England, in London, called, it's the Miss Bum Bum contest. And it's basically features girls who have...
who have the best booties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well said, George.
Yeah.
Now, this week, three of the Miss Bum Bum contestants issued statements. Okay. And I'll just read one. This is from a woman named Andrea Sunshine.
Okay.
And then after Andrea did it, two other girls followed suit. Here's what she wrote. In the name of the majesty of Queen Elizabeth, the loved queen of the United Kingdom, I mourn for a week as duly followed by all who respected and loved her. So, I will put myself in sexual abstinence for this time of mourning. May God rest her soul in peace. Hashtag RIP Majesty, hashtag London, hashtag UK. After she did it, two other of the Miss Bum Bum contestants, and let me just say they are all highly qualified to be a finalist in this contest, followed suit and claimed they would be going on a sex fast in order to honor the late monarch. My question to the two of you is, if given the choice, is this A, very nice patriotic act, or B, a brilliant publicity stunt to promote the Miss Bum Bum contest? Sedano, what say you?
I would say the latter. It's really smart publicity because everybody is focusing on the queen. All these local stations, maybe not all of them, but there's like a decent amount. I know a lot of local reporters around the country,
just people
I've crossed paths with over the years at different places.
Well, and Kelly works in local news.
Right, so Kelly works in local news. But I know there's at least three people that I know that work for local TV stations, okay, that are in England still, okay, for the death of the Queen. And I'm just like, how is that even possible? So they're taking advantage of that.
Cap, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is the first one, which is where you're honoring the monarch.
You think it's a patriotic act of selflessness?
Absolutely. That's right. That's exactly right. Mm. To honor the late Queen Elizabeth at 96 years old, I am going on a sex fast because, actually, there is no because. It makes no sense, but I'm just going the opposite side.
That is what will get me attention. I mean, essentially, that's the point.
I think it's a little brilliant by the Miss Bum Bum contestants. Because otherwise,
a little classless, Bum Bum. You know.
Cap, I'll send it to you.
I'm sure you will.
It's great.
Only in England would it be called something like the Miss Bum Bum competition. You know, it just sounds like people be having tea and crumpets while it's happening too.
I just googled it and then
went right to images.
Yeah, it is outstanding. I'm sending the source material to both of you guys, and maybe this
2019 looked like a really good year for the Miss Bum Bum contest.
Well, the 2022 is not hurting for, let's just say, quality contestants. I'm with Momo. I think it is a brilliant publicity stunt. I just sent it to both of you guys. So I think that's a good job. Hey, I didn't ask you, Cappy. Dennis Schroeder signing today with the Lakers means what, in your opinion?
Well, means that the roster's been filled out now. Means that there's now 14 guys on the roster.
And four point guards, not counting LeBron.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess everybody's jumping to the immediate conclusion, right? Well, if you got Dennis Schroeder, you don't need Russ anymore. I mean, Russ is selling his crib now, the $30 million crib.
Everybody's really
that's for sale.
Into that.
Yeah, he bought that house when he was in like Houston or Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I think he's from LA.
I said.
So he's going to have a house.
Right, I'm like, so what? He's right.
It's probably just movies.
So what is it supposed to mean?
I don't know if it means anything. It might just mean they're putting names on the back end of the roster.
Yeah, they have like more roster spots open.
I mean, stop.
I mean, Dennis Schroeder is a less than $3 million a year player. He's not a big deal, is he?
No,
he's a vet minimum guy. Everyone they're signing right now is somebody who they don't have to commit to long term, who has some upside,
and who all play the position that he would love to play.
Right.
Even
well,
though he plays differently,
and all can
I know
be
that.
There. Right, but can be there. They'll have backups if and when they are able to move him or kick him off the team.
So, have you ever seen somebody have an ending or a business deal go as badly as Schroeder's deal went with the Lakers?
No.
When that happened,
only time
I've
ever heard about it is, remember Jody Reed, the infielder for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
They offered him some insane long-term deal. He turned it down, and the only thing he could get after he turned it down was a major league minimum deal. That's similar to what happened to Schroeder, right?
So, yeah, it's similar. But now he's back with the Lakers. I mean, look, DeAndre Jordan verbally committed to the Mavericks, changed his mind, went back to the Clippers, and then a few years later ended up playing for the Mavericks. I never thought that would happen.
Right.
The Schroeder thing is on that same level for me. Of like, wow, that went so poorly, and there's definitely a bridge that has been burned or not, or at least damaged that you went back across, and I can't believe that happened.
Well, remember Phil Jackson in his book wrote that Kobe was uncoachable and he could never handle a guy like that, and then Phil came back and coached Kobe again
to another title. I mean, that doesn't actually shock me, because to me, those are just two strong-willed, great players. Coach, great player, people get over those things. But when a business deal literally costs a guy $80 million, that's kind of hard to come back from.
Hard to swallow, I would say.
Hey, Super Cross Tracks brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Coming up next, Sedano and Cap.
We'll talk about Shohei Ohtani, like Greg says we do every day on every show.
We try to a lot.
Yes, I listened to that. I thought Greg was actually very good on that producer podcast.
He was good.
Except the part where he said we talk about Shohei Ohtani as much as possible.
Yeah, that was a lie.
But he proved yesterday that he knows how to do everything.
Yep.
He does. He fixed the television in the studio. We couldn't get Fox. Because, our TVs don't work other than the one right behind you, John.
That's true.
John, we know you're trying to get out of here, John. We're trying to keep you around. We don't want you to leave.
No, we'll let you go. But Greg, to his credit, did fix the TV, and we could watch Fox 11 so we could watch the Charger-Chiefs game.
I fixed your wide orbit. Well, I didn't. Jody did. But somebody else fixed your wide orbit by your screen.
In true John Ireland fashion.
White Claw.
We should find a super controversial topic that requires a great deal of restraint and nuance and bring it up right now.
Right, but I can't bring up anything serious on Sedano and Cap, and we're into Sedano and Cap
now. No, because we do
now.
Stupidity. That's what we do.
It's the Stupidity Hour. Next, ESPN LA.